Remember now, Jesus said to Mary, "Touch me not, and I have not yet ascended to my Father." And you're, well, let's read that, John 20. Verse 11. And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now, let me tell you something here. While in Egypt, the Jews learned to mummify back in those days. Of course, they don't do that anymore. But they do bury a person immediately. They don't wait. Or rather, immediately. But back there then, each finger was wrapped and everything but the face mask. And it made like a cocoon. Well, she looked in there, and there that thing was. And the face linen was still there. Because that would have been the very last thing. And he wasn't in it. So I wanted you to understand that. "Touch me not, I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary came and told the disciples. Now, once again, Hebrews chapter 9. Now that's, let me remind you once more. That scripture, let's look that up. Where he was in Arabia, Keith. Isn't that in the book of Galatians? Let's go there.
Chapter 1, 17.
Yes. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conduct in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, mine own nation. But when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them apostles, but I went into Arabia." Now get this. "I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Then, after 3 years, it does not say how long he was there. And the people confuse that and say he was out there 3 years. I brought that up to Rick Renner. He was on television with me. And he looked at that. And he said, "Well, you know, I always thought that, but he did that. It's an undetermined amount of time. It was revealed unto me what happened on the night that he was betrayed." Revealed. Where? Out there. That's where the book of Hebrews came from. So, let's go back over there now. 9th chapter. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is what happened. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that there were under the first covenant, which they are called high, to receive the blood promise of eternal inheritance. For a covenant is in force after men and testament. Otherwise, it's no strength while the testator lives. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary, say necessary, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. That's what this book is about. Amen. Good. Thank you. Glory to God. Chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or blameless. For then we have not entered, ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more sin consciousness. Well, if you don't have a sin consciousness, what kind of consciousness should you have? A righteousness consciousness. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's not holiness. That's right standing with God. Holiness is produced by the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. Amen. Now, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to notice the wording. God, who at sundry time and in different manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. The moment he did that, we were healed. The moment he did that, Satan was done. The moment he sat down, it was over for him. The scripture right here in chapter 2 said he had the power of death, but he's been brought to naught. That's nothing, zero. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's something special. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But now listen, but unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They shall be waxed as old as does a garment, and a vesture shall you fold them up, and they will be changed. And you are the same, and your years shall not fail. Those are the words that he used to raise him from the dead. And again he will be my son when I bring in the first begotten of many sons. Jesus went in there on the 22nd Psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. And he spent 3 days and three nights in hell. It was a special Sabbath. It started on Wednesday, not Friday. John makes mention of that. Glory to God. It was a high Sabbath. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus had already said it. That's the way this book works. It had to be said by the prophets to give the people something to say. And then once it's in the earth, the devil can't get it out. So everything was prophesied in the first covenant. And the devil thought he had him. You know, by splitting two kingdoms and all that. Well, you can ship his saddle home. He's done. Praise God. Well, don't you care? They said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And like Brother Hagin said, and like I, with the pain that I'm experiencing now, no, wait a minute. I'm not giving him anything to work with.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
And I repented and backed up. That's it. Hallelujah. I know better than that.
Yes.
Yes. Glory.
Yes. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Devil, I just can't tell you how much I don't care. Carest thou not to the man that cared enough to go to hell for 3 days and three nights? And I began to talk about that to him, and I began to think of things. I mean, think of things that way back when. And I lay there and get thinking about it. I said, Lord, I repent of that. I know that's a long time ago, but that's stupid. You're a product of your own environment. Amen? Well, what does that mean? And Jesus put it like this. Take the speck, take the plank out of your own eye, and before you get the speck out of your brother's eye. Because that's what you're seeing. Sefrop Unk Gelandi, 2026 is the year of the big fix. The things that are being fixed are working in our favor, saith the Lord, in this nation. And the depth of which 2026 goes will be amazing to all of the people. For I am digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the swamp. I'm digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the swamp through my president and through the things that he has set in motion. I'm digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the swamp, and I'll tell you, by 2026, the alligators will be out of the country. The big fix. What about 2027? Ha! Days like of heaven. What about 2028? Right at heaven's gate. What about 2029? Things will begin to slip behind. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But I've been checking things. I could go further, but it wouldn't do for... Well, I have gone further, but it wouldn't do to bring up tonight. That's what's happening.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. I just saw something. I did this. Glory to God forevermore. Let's just pray for a moment. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The devil thinks he has a pistol at the head of the president. But I'll have you know, Mr. Devil, your plan is going to backfire. And it'll backfire right in your face. And everything you try to do will stop him. I will see to it that he goes further. Every time you try to stop him one way, I will cause you to flee seven. Hallelujah. The midterms. We'll have the red wave that we did not have before. But at the midterms, this country is going to be like it was at the election. The whole country is going to be red, like my blood. I'm healing this land. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Where am I? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise. God is also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost or distributions of the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, a little lower than God, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He tasted death. He tasted it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He tasted it. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all one. By which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare your name unto the brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God had given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy, paralyze him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is fear? What is faith? F- Faith is the name of an unseen creative force of God. Fear is an unseen force. It's just the opposite. And you've heard me do this illustration before. Well, being a pilot for all these years, I soloed in 61. You talk about reciprocals. The same, but exactly opposite. North is the reciprocal of south. East is a reciprocal of west. Both directions of the compass, but just exactly opposite. So here is the love line and the faith line. Now, wait a minute. What is fear? Fear is faith in death. What, Brother Copeland, what do you mean? A rattlesnake. Why do I do this? I have a lot of faith that thing will kill you. So I get out of his way. Why? He's deadly. But, oh, now he's not. I told you about Governor Perry. His little poodle dog in a park in Austin. And a coyote came out of there. And he just shot that coyote and killed him. Oh, I mean, reporters from all over the country said, Governor Perry, were you packing? He said, welcome to Texas, boys. And I don't know where. I have a permit to conceal carry. I don't. But I have gun collections and so forth. And, you know, and I like to shoot. And Brother Copeland, do you mean you shoot those little deer? Graveyard dead. Elk, and I have in my trophy room, my study. You've seen me up in front of the television. Right behind me is one of the greatest buffalo heads you've ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. Crow Indian Reservation. But John, Jesse, there was a big drought, and the people were hungry. And so we were given a buffalo hunt. And we kept the trophies, but they laid the meat out in a church where they could keep it cool. Amen. The principal chief of the Crow Nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the proper name is bison. No, it isn't. It's buffalo. You know, in the King James translation, it talks about the unicorn. Have you ever seen that? The unicorn is a horse with a... Look it up. The Indians pronounce it buffalo. And I think in the Hebrew it's wild bull, the unicorn. The King James has some weird things. It's the only mention of Easter. It was resurrection. But now, were you Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it? For the resurrection day parade? No. And like I said earlier, rabbits do not lay eggs. And don't tell your children that they do. And after you mess those things up, for goodness sakes, don't let them eat the things. Oh, you know, well, I don't care. But tell them the truth. The Lord said, I jumped out from behind and said, boo. He said, what do you think you're doing? Don't you ever frighten your children again. And don't lie to them about anything. So we didn't. And so we walked into Dillard's store this Christmas. And had Kelly by the hand. Kelly, you'll remember this. And let me get over there by her. Because she'll remember. She's just a little girl, about 9. And we walked in there. And this woman said, little girl, what's Santa going to bring you? And she said, you think she doesn't know? I had a horrible experience with that. Terrible experience with it. I won't go into it. And I'll tell you something else. While I'm meddling in your affairs, how many of you have small children or small grandchildren? Now, sweetheart, don't do that anymore, okay? Now, Daddy doesn't want you going out in the street and get hurt, okay? You don't have to ask a child's permission.
That's right. Amen.
I took John and Kelly down at my dad's house. I think I told you about this. And stood them out there in front of that car. I said, now look at this. Isn't this thing wonderful? They're just standing there looking at me. I said, one of these days you're going to have one. And they're just wonderful. They're great. And we just walked around the car. And I said, but now look at the size of this thing. Now, you get out there in the street, this thing squashes you like a bug. That's the reason you don't ever need to be afraid of it. But watch what you're doing. So Kelly's first car. Come here, Kelly. What was it? It was a Z8.
Nissan 280ZX.
280ZX.
Yeah, God got me that car. That was a miracle. I asked him for it.
So we went out in the driveway. I said, Kelly, it's very late at night. You're out in the middle of no place. Now, I suggest that you get the car handbook and find out how to change a tire. She said, where is it, Daddy? I said, I don't know. It is inside the car. So, she'd seen me. She went in there and opened the glove box. Why do they call that a glove box? Because they used to put gloves in them. Because you had to have gloves on those old cars that you had to drive that took arm and muscle to turn one of them. An old Phaeton or something. I said, okay, let's walk around here at the back of the car. Open the trunk. I don't know how. Read the book. Okay. I do suggest the index. Tire change. open the trunk. Where did that trunk? In England, it's the boot and the bonnet. Why the trunk? Here we go back to the original. They would take something like an old steamer trunk and strap the thing in the back so you could put things in it. So it's a trunk, whether you like it or not. I said, open it. She opened it. And get out the jack. She said, where is it? I said, I don't know. You're out in the middle of someplace and it's raining, and you have to do this thing by yourself. Well, she's a little girl. What were you, 15?
Barely 15. I don't really suggest that, actually.
Yes, but now listen. Listen, her being a young teenage girl by herself in that car. Before she got through, by herself, she jacked that car up. And of course, the foreign jacks are a whole lot easier than the American ones because they have jack ports underneath the car like that. She jacked it up, a rear tire, took the lug wrench, broke loose the lugs. I said, I do suggest you put those somewhere you don't kick them off in the mud someplace. So she can gather them up. And before she was done, she jacked that car up, took out the spare, put it on the wheel, tightened it down, let it down, jacked it back up once more, and took the spare off and put the regular tire back on there and put the thing back on the ground. And I guarantee you she could do it today if she had to.
I have a manual.
Yep.
He made me read that manual 3 times before I went and drove that car again.
Well, you read the book, girl.
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It taught me a good lesson. It was a way of life.
You read the book. Here's the manual. You've heard me say this. I was reading this one day. I said, Gloria, I already know how to do this. She said, what? Not be moved by what I feel or what I see. She said, how would you know how to do that? I said, Gloria Jean, I'm an instrument pilot. I have to fly an airplane where I can see outside or not. And you want me to really tell you the truth, which I'm going to do. I do enjoy flying on instruments. Oh, yeah. Just sit back there and can't see a thing out the front of that thing. Isn't it, Keith? And, I had a young man call me one time. And I had a beautiful Beechcraft, about an 80 model V-tail Bonanza. Oh, it was gorgeous. And I had this man call me and he said something about your Beechcraft Bonanza. Would it be for sale? And so I thought, well, it was Keith. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to beat this thing down as low as I can because it's Keith. I wanted to give it to him. But I said, no, don't you give that airplane to him. So I gave him a figure, and then he called me, and he said, I don't believe I want to pay that. And I thought, oh, man, I can't go any lower than that. He said, I'd like to pay $15,000 more than that because I think it's worth it. That was a first and a last. And he learned how to fly. When he got over there in that Bonanza,
So he's going on his cross country. Where, and you were living in Tulsa, right?
Yes, sir.
And where'd you go on your cross country?
Well, my instructor said, get away from the airport.
You're supposed to be 200 miles away on that first cross country.
He's talking about Sand Springs or something like that. So I got back and he looked at my logbook. He said, "Where'd you go?" Well, I went over to Mississippi. I went to Alabama. Yeah.
But 200 miles away, I mean, he flew something like 700 or 800 miles before he got back. And his record wonderful. Man, he's missing.
He said, "Go somewhere."
So he just went somewhere. So it came time to fly jets. It's very low time. So he went to flight safety. And they said something like, "Well, Mr. Moore, you don't have much time." And he said, "Well, do you think you can handle this?" He said, "Well, if I see that I can't, then I'll come back and train more." Well, they put you with a partner because he's there by himself, so he had to have a co-pilot, and they swapped back and forth. And Keith had to talk the co-pilot out of the fear of not being able to do it. Got him born again. And this guy, what, he had probably 10 times as much time. But Keith ministered to him and just kept coming. And now he's flying jets all over the world. That's what airplanes are for. They're not a luxury item. Many years ago, I heard the Lord say the airlines are coming to a place where they're not fit to fly.
That's right.
So you believe God now.
Yep.
Now, people being a product of their own environment create their own problems.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
By going to bed at night full of fear and worry. Now, I'm going to give you another Keith Moore example. Well, you open this file drawer in your mind. It's not in there. It's not in there. Well, take all the files out. It isn't in there. It is not in your head. It may be in your heart. So stop worrying about it. Cast the care. 1 Peter 5. On him. For he cares for you. Hallelujah. So. The environment can change you, or you can change the environment. Amen.
Amen.
Brian, you agree with that? Of course you do. Thank you, Lord. You change the environment around you. Gloria and I changed the environment around us a lot. We'd go on those motorcycle rides and just fun and laugh and just laugh until you couldn't laugh anymore. And Jesse and Kathy and Dennis and Vicki Burke and Happy and Jeannie Caldwell and Glory, we were the glory riders. And we'd take on a vacation and just take off and ride through Colorado someplace. And then just sit around and laugh and talk the Word of God. We never did take a vacation from the Word. We didn't take off and go crazy for 2 or 3 days. No. We were right here in Branson. And we'd been riding. And we went to a video store because one of the hotels here had a video player. So well, all of our rooms did here. I don't remember where we were staying. And there was a young boy walked in there and walked in that video store and walked around there to us. And he just simply said, "Are you the ones on television?" We said, "Yes." I was standing right in front of him. And Jerry was right here. And then when we just gathered around him, "Yes." I said, "We are. Would you pray for my mother? She has cancer." We started praying. He said, "Oh, no. She's out in the car."
Thank you, Lord.
She's out in the car. All of us gathered around. Now, the first time I was ever in this building, it was the Johnny Cash Theater. We came in here. Big stage here, of course. All of us, right down front. And they came in and said, standing right in front of me and in front of Jerry, and said, "Mr. Cash would like for you all to come see him, please." What does Johnny Cash want with us? We walked back there. He said, "Copeland." And he looked over there at Jerry. He said, "My knees." He said, I don't know whether I'm gonna be making through this whole thing or not." And boy, I mean, Gloria just dropped and grabbed him by the knees. I did too. Jerry got around on one side. We ganged up on him. They had the little whistles. Whoa, whoa. And gathered up around him and prayed. Now, we were right here. So the stage came out there about like this, and they put us right down front. And that June Carter, I'll tell you what, she broke up the whole place. I mean, and he turned around to their son. He said, "I'm telling you, that mama yours or something else." It's hilarious. And they did the curtain call. And he came out for another curtain call, and here's what he did. Changed the environment.
Yeah.
At the right place, at the right time.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Their other theater that they had before this one. Tony Orlando Theater. Shirley Boone called and said that Debbie was fronting for Tony Orlando. I'm talking about changing the environment. And Tony Orlando and Dawn. And he just walked up and he grabbed Shirley. He said, "Shirley Boone, teach me how to live." Well, those of you that are up with that, he did have a complete nervous breakdown. Well, I can see why. I mean, he bounced around all over that stage. He never slowed down one bit. He sang Yellow Ribbon about 10 or 12 times or pieces of it, just jumping up and down. We went to that other theater. And we just wanted to watch him because we had been there that night, Gloria and I both had, when Debbie was fronting for him. He stopped. And he had us stand up. He said, "Now, that's Kenneth and Gloria Copeland." And he said, "As most of you know, I did have a nervous breakdown. But," he said, "watching them on television, they taught me how to live."
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And he went on to be and very, very successful and still is. Amen. Change your environment. Make yourself available. Well, I'm just a nobody. You mean stand me and tell me I've stood here and wasted all my time? You're a nobody. What do you mean? Well, after all, I'm just human. How dare you? You are not just human. You are a born again human. That's the biggest miracle of the whole thing. You're a new creature in Christ. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in the Spirit, the gateway to the supernatural. Hallelujah. Don't you tell me you're just a mere human. Jesus was human. But a very special one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the reason I'm saying this, I've had these things said to me. God is a good God. And Brother Hagin had it said, I had this personally, this man, I could call his name to you right now. I won't, of course. I wish he wouldn't say that. I said, what? God is a good God. I said, why you want to say God is a bad God? No. It just gives people the wrong idea about God. Too many preachers preaching the curse instead of redeemed from it. Now, you might do like Brother Hagin and I have both done, and if somebody and are you a Christian? Oh yeah. What are we redeemed from? Sin, I guess. Oh, Lord, you bring that up. What time is it? Yeah, I got time. We pre-boarded, and there was Red Skelton. Now, some of you young, you don't even know who that is. One of the greatest comedians that ever lived. Not one, not even close to being off color. He'd turn his hat upside down. And he would always end his routine. Really well. So Gloria sat down there and opened up her Bible. He looked over there and he said, I see you opened up your Bible. And so I introduced him. He said, you're a preacher? I said, yes, sir. And he said, I have an original Gutenberg. He said, I collect Bibles. And he said, they're very important to me. So he's over there. And, you know, he's sitting across here. He said, preacher, listen to this. He said, the pastor got up and surprised the whole congregation. And said, well, today is my last day. And I just wanted to tell you, I'm moving on to another church. And so he went out to greet the people. And Granny walked up to him and said, I just hate to see you go. So he said, oh, Granny, the Lord will send something better, one better than me. She said, that's what they all said, and it just keep getting worse and worse. Change your environment. He sat down and wrote a little bit. He said, preacher, listen to this. He said, the pastor said, lock the back doors. We're going to pay off this church. We're going to get rid of this mortgage. And while the organist plays something appropriate. And the pastor said, he said, all of you that want to give, then I want you to stand up while the organist plays something appropriate. She said, what shall it be? He said, the Star Spangled Banner. Change your Well, these things are humorous. They're true. And there have been pastors that would do things like that. I won't go on with that any further. This, somebody said, praise God, that I'm not going on into that any further. Thank you very much. Lord, where was I here? Oh, yes. Chapter 12. The Hall of Fame of Faith. God having provided some of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect or blameless. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jerry Savelle qualifies for that. Lived by faith all of his young life. I never met anybody like him. He decided he was going to get up early and read the Word. And he'd fall asleep. And he kept trying to do that. He went in the bathroom and stood on the edge of the bathtub so that if he fell asleep, he'd fall off and knock himself out. I never would have thought to do that. He got so mad at me. He asked me some kind of question. I said, Jerry, I don't even remember now what I said. He didn't like it a bit. So he just took the tape and went out in the street and just rolled it down the street. And the Lord said, there goes your future. So he ran out there and wound that tape back up. In the name of Jesus. Let brotherly love continue. Let your character be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. That he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So they boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them who have the rule over you, who spoken the word of God to those faithful that consider the end of their manner of life, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm not through with it, but we'll just finish for tonight. Thank you, Jesus. The entire earth is changing. One man said, the nations are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Read the book of Ezekiel. Turkey and Russia getting together. That's why this is so important. Romania, Russia. Rick and his family have been there for living in Moscow. So he called the head of the country. I mean, the communication man from whom to get permission. He said, I want to start an online church for the small villages. I want a channel for the small villages in Russia so that the small villages can have churches and know Jesus. He said, Rick, we want the people of Russia to know Jesus. We want that. You have our permission. And it was the first document of its kind in history. Rick Renner has a Russian faith channel. Glory to God. All over Russia.